as we conclude our final week of our Outdo series through Romans chapter 12. As we read today, we've asked some of our friends and partners from around the world to join in on the reading. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and perfect.
وإنني بفضل نعمة الله علي أوصي كل واحد منكم بهذا لا تعتبر نفسك أنك عظيم بل كن متعلقا في تقديرك لنفسك في حدود نصيبك من الإيمان الذي أعطاه الله لك الجسم الواحد توجد فيه أعضاء كثيرة لكن هذه الأعضاء ليس لها نفس الوظائف وكذلك بالنسبة لنا مع أننا كثيرون لكن بانتماءنا للمسيح نحن جسم واحد وكلنا أعضاء بعضنا لبعض
Romeinen 12, vers 6 tot 8. Want God heeft aan ieder van ons een bijzonder geschenk gegeven. Zo goed is Hij voor ons. De een krijgt een boodschap van God, een boodschap die past bij ons geloof. Een ander heeft een bijzondere taak in de kerk en voert die uit als een goede dienaar. Weer een ander geeft uitleg over God en doet dat goed. Iemand die anderen oproept om vol te houden, moet hen ook echt steunen. Iemand die iets uitdeelt aan anderen moet niet hopen op voordeel voor zichzelf. Iemand die anderen hulp geeft, moet dat met aandacht doen. Iemand die iets goeds doet voor anderen, moet dat met plezier doen.
O amor seja sem hipocrisia. Detestai o mal e apegai-vos ao bem. Amai-vos cordialmente uns aos outros. Com amor fraternal, preferindo-vos em honra uns aos outros. No zelo não sejais remissos. Sede fervorosos de espírito servindo ao Senhor. Regozijai-vos na esperança, sede pacientes na tribulação, na oração, perseverantes. Compartilhai as necessidades dos santos, praticai a hospitalidade.
Благословляйте гонителей ваших, благословляйте, а не проклинайте. Радуйтесь с радующимся и плачьте с плачущим. Будьте единомысленны между собою. И не высокомудрствуйте, но последуйте смиренным, не мечтайте о себе. Никому не воздавайте злом за зло, но пекитесь о добром перед всеми человеком. Если возможно, с вашей стороны, будьте в мире со всеми людьми.
Чонгчуан的弟兄,不要自热情,能克让步,听不住。 侯亚双人因为经常之路就说心愿在我必不允所以你的仇敌若饿了就给他吃若渴了就给他喝因为配种信主要是吧对好的你不可为恶生唐阳方
Romans chapter 12 in English, Arabic, Dutch, Portuguese, Russian, and Mandarin Chinese. Our friends and our partners around the world are thankful that we together have sought to live out the words of Romans chapter 12. And as we hear it in those native tongues, I am reminded that God is the God of the entire world. Amen? Listen, friends, we've got to be reminded that God's not American. We are blessed as a nation, but God is God. And He has sought to bless our nation that you and I might be a blessing to the world. And so truthfully, it's not even about blessing our nation. It's about blessing the believers in this nation that we might make a difference for the kingdom's sake. So my prayer is that this faith family, along with every other faith family in our wonderful country, would take serious the responsibility that we could be the keepers and the ambassadors of the gospel for the world, that we could continue to shine brightly the light of Christ to those around us. As we move into this very important chapter, I would remind you that we'll finish up today. It's all about practical faith and purposeful living. The only verses we've not covered are Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, which Daniel just read in Mandarin Chinese. So if you will take your Bible and look at Romans 12, beginning in verse 19, we will wrap up today. While you're turning, next Sunday, we begin a 14-week series through 1 Peter. We called Living Hope. There was a song that was playing when you came in the room this morning through the sound system called Living Hope, which we will launch from that to know that He is our living hope. And it really is the next step beyond what we've read in Romans 12. It's almost as if we have the foundation and we take the next step of thought process together. So I invite you this week, sometime throughout the week, sit down and read all of 1 Peter. It won't take you long at all. It's a wonderful book. Read through it and let's begin next week together. But today, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul chooses to end this incredibly practical chapter by quoting from Proverbs 25. Most of what we see here, these last three verses, is a quote directly from Proverbs chapter 25. The large majority of this entire chapter of Romans 12 has given us practical steps to take that are in direct contradiction to what the world would tell you to do. It's direct contradiction to what our flesh would encourage us to snap out and to do. So in my mind, it's very fitting that his last thought is a very backward thought, a backward truth, maybe the most backward truth I can think of from this passage. I would think it should go like this in my fleshly self. If your enemy is hungry, taunt him. If your enemy is thirsty, ignore him. If your enemy is hungry, maybe hit him. That's what the world would say. That's what children have sometimes said at different points in their lives. It becomes innate to us to do such things. But look at what the scripture says. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. That's backwards. It's really backwards. Now look at verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, in every situation you will walk into this week, you make a choice. We've been talking about this for several weeks now. Every step we take is a choice. You can either be overcome or you can be an overcomer. I would encourage you to write that down today. You can be overcome or you can be an overcomer. The definition of the word overcome, biblically speaking, means this: to overwhelm and or to conquer. So read that verse like this: do not be overwhelmed by evil, but conquer evil with good. Do not be overwhelmed by evil, but conquer evil with good. Well, how do you do that? How do I do that? Friends, it's one backward choice at a time. It's one simple church. Listen, it feels natural to avenge yourself. We've covered that these last 10 weeks. It feels natural to withhold kindness and respect from your enemy. They've not earned it. It feels natural to fight evil with more evil. But the truth is, the scripture says, think backward right here in Romans 12. Don't think like the natural world. The key to this passage and living all of Romans 12 is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit at work in you and at me. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that you and I will ever be able to live the simple backward truths from Romans chapter 12. So as we wrap up this three-month journey, there's two simple steps I would give you if you write things down. They won't be on the screen, but you can just write these down. They're simple. They're easy. You can remember them. Number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the most important part of this. It's not about which of these steps will I take. You start. You got to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, walk backward from the way of the world. We cannot handle and react the way the world would react. Let's look at the second step first. I tell you, I'm going to do a little visual aid here. So I'm going to ask if I can get a couple of guys here. Shannon, would you come on up here? Would you come on up here too? Y'all are just going to be my holders. It's not going to be difficult. But if you guys will stand right here in the middle, one on each side, and hold this up. And I'm going to ask Paula Dawkey to come up here. Paula, would you mind? Hold it up a little higher if you will, guys. That's perfect. Paula, back a couple of years ago, we discovered she has this trait that is very, no problem. I mean, I don't mean indefensive, but it's unnatural, Paula. But anyway, she's got this trait that she can, you give her a phrase, she can write it backwards. She can even write it upside down. Would you do me a favor, put you on the spot here. Would you, in big letters, write outdo one another backwards, if you will. I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty impressive to do. Can anybody else? That's pretty good. Wait, let's do this. That was fast. You didn't even have to think about it. Outdo one another. Okay, stand right here, Paula, if you will. That's a nice trait. Let me get someone else. Let's see here. Let me look for the perfect person to help us out. People are thinking, I don't want to have to come up and do this. And let's see here. I don't think our chairman of deacons is back from making a run to the bank yet. I don't believe he's back here yet. So let's see. I'm looking around the room for my next victim I can call on here to help. Don, you'll do fine. Come on up here. You'll do just fine. Your song was beautiful. That's what I want you to do. I want you to write that backwards. Come on. Right here. Now listen. All right. Don't think. Don't stop. Don't go slow. Outdo one another. Backwards. Go.
In cursive.
Go. Backwards. Go. Real quick. Not slow. Not slow. Go. Outdo one another. One another. Another, real quick, don't stop. That is really sad. Thank you. Go ahead. Here's the thing, when you look at his, one is okay, but it's, that's sad, is all we'll say. Okay, you guys can take, y'all can you'll take that back down there. The reason I show you that is I want you to realize this. What she was able to do is because she has a natural ability to do it. It comes natural to her to be able to do it. It's an innate ability that she possesses that Don does not possess. Now, Don, you got plenty of abilities. That was beautiful today. You're using several of those. But what you did was messy and sad. And what she did was awesome. It worked just perfectly. Now, here's the thing. He can't correct that mistake on his own. He could practice. He could practice and probably learn how to outdo one another pretty easily. But you give him the next random phrase, he's going to have to practice again. It's not going to come naturally. And what I would say is, I hope that's a little visual illustration of the phrase I want to tell you next that I want you to remember. You will never live out Romans 12 unless you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's not natural to live out the things that we have learned here. It's not natural to take all of these steps that we've been walking through. In fact, it is supernatural to do those things. And it's not an innate ability you have on your own. It's an innate ability that comes by the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so the difference in being able to do something like that and the difference in being able to live out Romans 12 is what is inside of you. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. I'll put it this way. Practice all you want, but you will eventually end up doing what comes natural unless the supernatural is at work in you. It is true for all of us. So this 10-week series may have appeared to have been a how-to for life. But what I would say to you is the secret to this whole 10 weeks in Romans 12 is that it was not a how-to for life, it was a who-to for living. It's about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And by living in the power of the Holy Spirit, it leads us to walk out all of these principles we've looked at. Would you join me for a quick trip down memory lane of the past 10 weeks? Look back at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Remember, the phrase we learned from week one was this: true worship begins in the head and the heart, and always leads to the hands and the home. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We can't just worship God in our heart, and we can't just worship Him by lifting our hands. We can't just worship Him in our head. It has to be lived out with our hands and our feet. It's lived out in our homes. And so if we're truly going to worship God, it's not about coming on Sunday morning to church. It's not about listening on the radio. It's not about watching online. True worship is about living an obedient life of honor and dignity and praise and worship to the Father. True worship 7 days a week. So friends, we must let it be lived out in the hands, in the home. That second part of that verse, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? Remember, we said you read the word and you reduce the world. We read the word and we reduce the world. We must do both of those to really transform, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds do not renew themselves. This is not a passive command in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It is an active command that God is giving us to renew our minds. If you, hear me say this, if you are not reading God's word, if you are not making conscious steps to be obedient to God, say yes to this and no to this, you are not in the process of renewing your mind. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do that. So to be transformed, we have to do those things. Let's keep going. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If serving, in our service. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. You'll remember the key phrase. We had a very good illustration. We've shown it several weeks in a row now. And that is this: spiritual gifts always come with work gloves. The very thing that God has called us to do. If you are a believer in the room, let me say it one more time. If you are a follower of Jesus, you were not skipped in the spiritual gifts department. You may not know what your supernatural gift from God is to be used to give Him glory and to benefit the body of Christ, but I assure you, you have one. The scripture is clear in multiple places that we as believers have been empowered by the Holy Spirit with spiritual gifts. And Paul says right here, use those gifts. That gift is not for you to sit. No one in the room has the gift of sitting. That sitting in a pew is not a spiritual gift. We said it before. I need to say it again. If you think you've exercised your gift by showing up for church, guess again. You have not. You didn't need work gloves to do this. And spiritual gifts always come with work gloves. It will always put us to work in some way. We will be able to live it out and use it. You may say, Chris, but my health does not allow me to be able to do things I once could do. Or you may say, my schedule doesn't allow me to do things I once could do. Please hear me say this. This is not about some task for the church. This is about living out the giftedness of God in your life. Now, it may involve a task at church for a lot of us, but for several of us, it won't. In fact, if you think your spiritual gift is just to be used at church, friends, no, by no means. God once has empowered you that you can be his hands and feet, and in supernatural ways, you can worship him, glorify him, edify the body of Christ, all in a way that leads others to Christ. So figure out a way to use your gifts. Now I'll let you in on a little secret that we don't have time to discuss today because we just don't have time to fit it in, but I'm fully convinced, and I believe I can show it scripturally in the lives of a few people in the Bible. I'm fully convinced that there are times that God, when the day you're saved, God gives you a gift, and that's your spiritual gift for life. But I'm fully convinced for a whole lot of us that our spiritual gifts are changed or multiplied throughout different seasons of our lives. You say, where do you get that from? I look at my own life experience. Things where God had gifted me in a season, while the season might have been 4 or 5 years long, where I was doing something actively, and this was what my life was about. And then now, it's as if God has said, I'm changing directions, and I'm not necessarily removing that gift completely, but I'm going to continue to fill you and use this gift in your life. You see, what's that about? We have a living and active God who equips us to serve him and to live for him. So friend, don't think for a moment that just because if you've maybe reached an age you can't do what you used to could do, and so that's where your gifted was, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have gifts that he wants you to live out. Get your work gloves out. Live those out for him. Let's continue on with the scripture if we can. Looking at the next verse, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. It says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's the phrase Paula wrote, outdo one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. We found a simple way to remember that as a faith family, and we said this, we should make it a goal to love and honor people more than anyone in the room, and when we do, we'll find Jesus every time. If our goal can be whatever room I walk into, whether it's my living room, my classroom, the courtroom, Walmart, Foodland, the Sunday school classroom, where the ball field, whatever it is, wherever I go, when I'm in that room and in that place and in that presence, I'm going to seek to show honor and love more than anybody else around me. And when I do, I'll find Jesus every single time. Friends, that is probably the simplest one to live out because it's easy to do anywhere you go. Now, it's not always easy to live, but it's easy to figure out what you need to do. So I would encourage you to outdo one another in showing honor. Look at verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. This idea of not being slothful in zeal, this idea of fervent in spirit gives the idea of boiling, that word fervent. It's boiling in the spirit. So that's what God's called us to do. We used a quote from the famous missionary, well-known missionary, Jim Elliot, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Friend, I don't know where God's got you right now. Some of you are in a rough spot. I'm quite certain in a room this size. Be all there and live to the hilt this situation for the Lord. Some of you, you are walking into the greatest season of your life and you're more excited about what God is up to. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe it's a new friendship. Maybe it's a new situation with your family, new children, and you're at a place you're very excited for this next season of life. What I would encourage you to do is what that quote says, be all there. Live to the hilt whatever situation you find yourself in for the Lord. Teachers, you've got 1 week under your belt. You've now had enough time to get to figure out some of your students. You know the ones that need extra prayer. You know the ones that need extra grace. You know the ones that need extra spankings. Wait a minute. I don't know if you can do that part, but you know which ones need it anyway. You know the ones that God gifted you with. It's gifted you with so that you can be that godly influence for them. My challenge to you, live to the hilt every situation you have. Social workers in the room, we've got several. God's put you in situations. Live to the hilt every situation you're there. Medical people, you know those you care for. Live to the hilt every situation. Factory workers, you know who you stand next to, who's in your work group, who's around you. Live to the hilt every situation. God, you and I, we are God's ambassadors. We're going to look at that in our next series. But here's the truth. We've said it before, and it's worth saying again. Wherever you find yourself, you are God's man or woman on the scene. God has placed you there on purpose. It is not an accident that you are there to be used by him. God has placed you there so that you can. Let's keep going. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Remember the simple phrase we discussed that week, Jesus is enough. No matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, Jesus is enough. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Jesus is enough in your life. Romans 12:13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Remember, we can't settle for being a consumer. We are to be a contributor in the faith family of God. Now, it has bothered me. I've known many believers throughout the years, and I don't necessarily mean in this church, though some are here, but I mean in any church I've ever been a part of, all the way to my childhood church growing up, to the hundreds of churches that I was in when I had a ministry of evangelism, I would say this. Many people sit in a church and never contribute with their time, their talents, or their treasure, but they will call it their church. Listen, that's like going to your next door's neighbor's backyard because it's beautiful and lots of great flowers, and you put yourself a little chair out there and you sit down and tell all your friends about my yard and your yard. That's not your yard. It's somebody else's yard. And what I would say to you as a faith family, are you contributing as a faith family member? I'm not talking about are you giving lots of money. What I'm saying is, are you investing your time, your talents, your abilities, whatever they are, and your treasures in the kingdom of heaven? God desires and commands that we do so. The next part of this verse, seek to show hospitality. We've talked about the fact that hospitality is a gospel issue. And we're making great strides towards being even a more hospitable church than we already are. I appreciate those that welcome others, but we're taking constant steps to make that better. We have 54 people now that have agreed to be a part of our First Impressions team on a regular basis to help us greet one another and to greet guests that come this way. We still need a few more that can help us in the parking lot part of the ministry. If that's you, you can sign up. We need a few more that can serve in different ways. You'll see a list in your worship guide there. Let's keep going. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. We spent a week on this. It's a tough one. But we had a little phrase we encourage you to remember, and that is this. When put to the test, remember to bless. When someone tests you in some way by persecuting you or showing anger to you or in some way negative, you're being put to the test. Remember to bless. Remember to bless them. Bless and do not curse them. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Never underestimate the power of showing up. There have been some people in the last few weeks of my life and some busyness and some difficulties and things going on and just a little overwhelming of some of the ministry things, there have been a few people that have remembered to call me or have just shown up at the right moment to say, I'm praying for you, or how can I pray for you, or hey, or sending a word of encouragement. I have to tell you, more than once I've received at the perfect moment an email or a text or a call from random people in our faith family, but it's not random at all. The Holy Spirit laid on their heart to do it, and they responded in obedience. And here's what I would say. Every single time, they need to know there was so much power in them just showing up in my life in the last few weeks. It made a difference for me. You can make a difference in someone else's life. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. In other words, strive for harmony and not to be haughty. It's an effort. Again, it's not passive, it's active. We have to work at this. Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Last week, I had a different pair of shoes. I walked around the room to remind you that grace and retaliation cannot dwell in the same shoes. It's a choice you make today, which shoe will I put on? It's a choice you'll make tonight, which shoe will I put on? It's a choice you'll make the next time you face a difficult situation. Grace and retaliation cannot dwell in the same shoes. It's a choice. And then today, one more time, Romans 12:19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So today, be overcome or be an overcomer. Either be overcome by evil or be an overcomer who overcomes evil with good. Do not do what feels natural. Do what is supernatural. So as we wrap up 3 months of a chapter, I am so thankful for the little snippets that I have seen of this chapter lived out in the lives of many of you in my family and honestly in myself as I've made some conscious effort to work on some of these. My desire is that as we close this chapter and move on to something new, that we will not forget that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we begin to walk and do the backward things of the world, the things that are truly right for the kingdom of God. So what is your next step this morning? Truthfully, it would be easy to say, just figure out one of these and get about living it. And I really want to encourage you to do that. But the most important thing I can say to you is this: align your life with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. But that does not mean you have been filled with the Spirit. That does not mean you're walking in a way that you're allowing the Holy Spirit to be filled and working in your life. Because what I've learned about my own life is I can grieve the Holy Spirit. I can hinder the Holy Spirit. It's pretty easy for me to figure out how to do that in my own flesh. But I want to encourage you to dig into God's word. I encourage you through a life of prayer. I encourage you through a life of obedience to know that the Holy Spirit has a plan to supernaturally empower you to live out Romans chapter 12. And so I invite you to do that. For some of us, maybe there's been some major issue in your life that's been hindering the Holy Spirit's work for quite a while. Listen, there's a passage in 1 Peter that we're going to look at where men, it tells us the way you honor your wife and the way you treat your wife is a determining factor of whether your prayers are going to be heard by God or not. There's some men in this room, your prayers haven't been heard by God in a long time. You need to honor your wife. God has gifted you with a spouse, someone that you are to show honor to and to show Jesus to. So if that's you, I would encourage you to start today by repenting. The truth is, we'll never live out Romans 12 because the Holy Spirit will not have free reign in our lives if we are walking in a way that is disobedient in that area. Now, not meaning just to pick on men, let me just say to all of us in general, is there any way in your life that you're saying no to the Holy Spirit? You're saying, I'm going to do this my way no matter what. There are times that happens in my life. And my prayer and my desire today is that I want to say to God, Father, I start fresh and new today. I'm asking you to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in me. I want to be in your word. I want to know you more through prayer. I want to live in obedience, and I want to walk out Romans chapter 12. I want to live those things for others to see it. That's my prayer today. That's going to be my prayer in the altar today. I pray that it's yours as well. And then beyond that, once you've asked the Holy Spirit to move in your life, beyond that, it's then that you might look and say, of all the different things we've covered through chapter 12, there's this one that I really need to focus on because that's where I am in life right now. If that's the case, be about that. For some of us, it's what we've talked about just today, just to stop doing what's natural and do what's supernatural. It's to not be consumed, but to make sure that we are overcoming evil by living out the goodness of the Lord, whatever truth he is saying to you. Just get about it, pray about it, then get about it. That's what God would have us to do. Would you bow with me? Father, as we have spent a little time wrapping up Romans chapter 12, Lord, my prayer is that I wouldn't look at these as just steps to take, but I would look at these as incredible results that overflow out of a life lived empowered by the Holy Spirit and desiring to put others first. Lord, that's my prayer today. May I be filled with your Spirit. May I make wise choices that do not grieve the Spirit and stop his work in my life. Father, my prayer is that I would, in the quiet moments and the alone moments, the moments when no one's around but me, that in those moments I would make wise choices in my mind, in my heart, in my actions. Father, my prayer is that when no one else would know that maybe I'm harboring bitterness or some resentment in my heart because I keep it to myself, but it's there towards someone, that Father, I would let go of that. That I would not repay evil for evil. That I would not hinder the work of the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to help me to be able to love like you love, to show mercy like you show mercy, to show goodness like you show goodness. Father, I pray that every person in this room might find themselves just like me at a place where they would stop and say, Father, I want to be able to live out this incredible chapter. And yes, it's one step at a time, one choice at a time, but it starts with the power of the Spirit in me. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work across this congregation like we could not even begin to imagine to ask for. That you would blow new life into the lungs of every 90-year-old in the room and every 20-year-old in the room and everything in between. That we would have more of a passion for your word and your Spirit and your truth and your people and those you want to rescue in our community and those you want to rescue around the world. God, break our hearts for your plan and what you're doing. May we as a faith family and we as individuals be bold to outdo one another in showing honor, to be bold to live out the gospel, to show grace and mercy, to be bold to contribute to the work of the saints, to be bold to live out everything we've studied together. Lord, may this fall not be business as usual for our faith family, but may this fall be a transforming time in our faith family that we can impact the kingdom of God and that we can push back on the kingdom of darkness for your name's sake, for your glory. God, break our hearts, do whatever it takes that we might desire to see the nations come to know you and that it starts right here in our own city with our own people. It starts in our own homes. Father, have your way among us today. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand together.